Hey now. Bro, it is. What is today? Tuesday? It's been a Tuesday. It's been a Monday of a Tuesday. And I don't know what's gotten into me, but I'm going to be honest, Bert. I hadn't been feeling it today.
Well, you know, I woke up feeling mean. I don't know what the deal is.
You did. You woke up with tattoos. And slightly out of
that's
frame.
That's what the hell.
Look at this.
Yeah, I've actually had it and nobody has known.
Where did you get those tattoos, by the way?
I don't remember. Well, I think it was a drunken night in Acapulco.
Really?
Many years ago, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I woke up with two llamas and a cabana boy, so I don't know.
A cabana boy?
I don't know what was going on.
Speaking of P. Diddy, I mean, come on, cuz.
I'm just joking. And by boy, I mean 21 or over.
Right. Gosh. Adults only.
Yes.
So I do want to talk about this P. Diddy stuff, but first, we're trying to add a new aspect to this show, which is being able to Zoom people. By the way, Tony Gump, welcome to the show.
I'm here as well.
Oh, let's not forget Tony Gump. We want to test out the Zoom. Actually, before we do that, John Berg, get back to where you were. Just go back this way.
Yeah.
You told me to go this way.
I know. Yeah, I know.
I'm
indecisive. Hold on. Wait.
There you go, right there.
That's a sweet spot.
All right, there we go.
We do our own camera work around here, by the way. But we're getting good at
it. Saves time and money.
Saves time and money.
It does.
There's no need to hire camera people. So, Bert, if you will be our guinea pig, we want to... yet again, we want to test out our Zoom capabilities, which means bringing somebody in via, you know, video chat. And so if you would, if we can call you on your phone and talk to you, we don't know if this works or not, but the only way we can do it is if we're recording a podcast, apparently. So if you will, just exit the room.
Okay.
And Tony Gump will call you.
Yeah, get me going.
Leave those headphones here. Yeah, good idea.
All right.
And now that Bird's gone, let's see if we can bring him up on the feed.
I'm going to patch it through. Okay, here we go. This should work. There he is.
Oh, look at that. It worked.
Hey.
Can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
I can't. I don't hear you. I'm sure you're there.
Yeah, we're here. Hello?
I'm sure you're there. I hope everybody can see me.
Yes, we can see you.
Yeah, that John Berg guy, you know.
Here's what I'm going to do.
He can't hear us. He's just talking.
I am going to visit an abandoned building.
Oh, my God.
Okay? You guys don't be scared.
Okay.
All right? Let's see. Wait a minute. I got to figure out how to do
this. We can say whatever we want to about him, and he wouldn't have no idea. Because he don't go back and watch these shows.
Yeah, John, don't fall down the stairs or nothing, you know.
Where's he? Is he going up the stairs?
I don't know what he's doing. Looks like he's going up some stairs.
Here we go. Scary.
Second set.
I don't even know where he's at right now.
I'm not sure. What is
he doing?
He can't hear us, so it's like, hey, John, what are you doing?
So, I wonder if I yell at him if he'll... John Bird, what are you doing?
I'm in the devil's den.
Oh, no.
Can you see me?
This is not what I had in mind when I was like, I'm going to test this out.
We see your eyeglasses.
I smell a terrible smell.
What?
I think somebody's dead back here.
Uh-oh. Oh, my God.
What'd you
right
do, John?
Now, I'm going to see. Let's see how well it does when I simulate moving around quickly. I'm sorry.
He can't hear us.
And he's going.
Oh,
John
Bird,
come back. You can come back.
Dude, what happened?
Oh, God. Are you okay?
This might be our first edit. Can you hear him?
I wonder if I need to.
I can't hear him.
No, do you want to check on him?
Yeah, I'm going to check.
Go check on him real quick, okay, and I'll delay.
You want me to play? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, just go for it. We're fine. So it seems our Zoom capabilities work somewhat, and John Bird might be injured at this point. Oh, here he comes. Are you okay?
Yeah. I don't do good on carpet. I've got my... See, these are my shoes. They're kind of worn at the bottom.
They were very worn at the bottom.
Out from under me. Did you get the footage?
Yeah, we got you.
I think we got it. You couldn't hear us at all?
No. But I don't know if did I say bad words falling down? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Was your phone on mute, maybe?
You couldn't hear us, but we could hear you, so that's a good news. We're moving in the right direction.
Where are we?
We're back in the studio, buddy.
And you're what is your name again?
Okay.
One of these days, this is really going to happen with John Bird. Like, he's literally just going to lose it. And we're all going to just make a big gimmick out of it.
What is that? Cry wolf or whatever that is?
Yeah. Don't cry dementia, because when it happens one day, we need to be able to treat you.
Maybe hit my head. Now, that's Benjamin. I know that. We're Benji. We call him Benji.
What an unfortunate name that would be, by the way.
Yeah, Benji.
I guess
I'm a Benji.
I know. Let's see. I bet you're a Brock. Brock and Benji. The Brock and Benji show.
That does sound like a morning show, does it not?
Brock and Benji.
A little bit.
And Benji.
What is my name?
In the morning. Your name's Carl.
Carl?
Yeah.
Carl. That sounds familiar.
Carl.
Oh, yeah, The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I love that show.
Carl. So we'll go in the future. I think we've got some things to probably work out, but once we figure it out, we'll be able to Zoom. You're going to be out of town. I don't know if you know this because you hit your head, but you're going to be out of town later this week.
Really?
So you're not going to be in studio with us here or on the radio show, unfortunately.
I'm going to the beach?
Yeah. You're going to the beach. I think you're already out to the beach right now.
No, I'm not, because I know that I'm on the Brock and Benji show.
Right. So you'll be out of pocket the rest of the week, but if we can get the Zoom thing figured out, we'll bring you in to visit the Brock and Benji show.
Okay.
Mm.
What?
Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we all on the
We're
same
all
page?
Square. Yeah. Brock Benji. Let's do this.
Brock Benji and little Caleb.
Okay.
Like
so.
Carl. I'm Carl.
So one of the big topics as of right now is the P. Diddy stuff going on. And man, let me tell you, this is speaking of unfortunate names, everyone knows my 14-year-old. I had nicknamed him P. Diddy. His name's Payton. Back when he was just a wee little baby, I called him P. Diddy. I just, you know, it was just a thing. I wasn't like some big Puff Daddy fan or anything. And as a matter of fact, I think I gave him that name before Puff Daddy switched to P. Diddy, if I'm being honest. I can't remember what year that happened. But the big raid happened yesterday. They raided two homes of Sean Puffy Combs. He flees the country, and now everybody's talking about what's going on.
Holy crap.
What is the first time Jumper's hearing this? When you saw that, Tony Gump, what was your immediate thoughts on these raids?
Well, I thought, what's he going to bring out against the globalists at first? I thought maybe he was going to turn something good, like vote for Trump kind of thing or something.
Yeah, you think he's like, you think of Sean Combs, you're like, oh, he's with the bad guys. He's in with the Democrats. How is this possible? They're raiding his own.
Right. I figured if he's on the team, well, he definitely got a heads up. Somebody gave him a heads up amongst his people,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, well, it must have been very bad, or some domino fell, and there's going to be a bunch more coming, in my opinion.
What about you, Carl?
It's bad. It's bad news.
Real bad.
This D. Pitty is, he fleed to France?
He fleed to France, I guess. I think he went to the Caribbean, yeah, actually.
He's probably done some bad stuff.
He's probably down That's there with a think. With a cabana boy right now, yeah, we're being honest.
FBI's probably involved.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's involved. They're looking for him. Maybe his plane crashed. Who knows? Who knows?
If you go back to that, remember, who was it? Cat Williams did interviews with Joe Rogan. Originally, he did one with Shannon Sharpe. And everybody knows Shannon Sharpe is, you know, he's a football guy. He does his own show now, ESPN commentator. He did a podcast with him, and he was talking about a lot of things as far as the shadiness of things going on in Hollywood. And he brought this up, and this was like two months ago or something like that this came out. You can put that on full screen. This is Cat Williams talking about P. Diddy and others about how 2024 was going to be the year that all of this stuff is exposed.
What you get? I came in this business saying I was going to expose. When I talked about Michael Jackson, when I talked about R. Kelly, they canceled me for these things because why would you talk about another black dude? Race is not where the line is drawn. It's God's side and the other side. And we don't care nothing about the other side. Period. All of these big dick deviants is all catching hell in 2024. It's up for all of them. It don't matter if you Diddy or whoever you is, T.G. Jakes, any of them, all lies will be exposed. That's all. And anyone who takes that the wrong way, know why they take it the wrong way. The truth is the light.
And they have that. I don't really kind of know where to go. Let me one more time.
Right.
We good now?
Because the people want to know, why would he get blackballed?
Yeah,
because in 30 years, I've done nothing but collect information, knowledge, and your secrets. So if you and a man was in a corner doing something you wasn't supposed to be doing,
you would tell it.
No, somebody come to tell me.
Okay.
I gather that. I value that. I'll pay for that. Come, tell me. I know so many things I shouldn't know, and they all know it. They all know it.
You know, one thing about Cat Williams is when he speaks, especially when he's serious, he almost seems nervous. Mm-hmm. You get that vibe out of his voice. But the content of what he said 2024 is going to be the year that all these people are exposed. And if if you're going to trust anybody about what kind of shadiness is going on in Hollywood or in the music industry, trust somebody from the inside. Because nobody else, we've always suspected it. We've always had suspicions that there's some real, whether you want to call it trafficking or demonic or whatever. We all know there was some weird-ish going on in Hollywood and in the entertainment industry. And the signs have been around forever. Everybody's been telling us about it. You go back to Dave Chappelle's show. Remember when Dave Chappelle, Tony, find me Dave Chappelle talking about P. Diddy. He was doing like a reality show.
I remember that one.
Yeah, he was doing a reality show where he was pretending to do a reality on Chappelle's show.
Mm-hmm.
And he was P. Diddy and he was the host. And what was he? He was like, go find me some, he was telling the contestants, go find me some.
Can we full screen this?
No, leave that on small
screen.
Okay,
I found it.
Yeah, he said something along the lines of, go find me a Cambodian immigrant and get me some breast milk or something. So something weird, you know what I'm saying? Watch this. This is it. This is crazy.
I got to shut the studio down, yo. All right, the only way I open the studio up now, y'all got to walk uptown to the Bronx and get breast milk from a Cambodian immigrant. I only drink the finest breast milks.
I love it.
Go out there and milk Cambodia. It's 100% Cambodian, yeah. It's the real shit. Rest me. You made my day. Oh, man.
Well, you know, what's crazy is there's probably truth to that. The reason he did that skit is probably because at some point, Sean Combs got his assistants to go get him some breast milk and just probably had some sort of weird fetish when it comes to that. I almost guarantee you that.
I guarantee it's happened at some point with somebody.
Yeah, because it's kind of random. It's funny. It's kind of dumb funny. But it's so random, it's like, nah, there's some truth to that.
Well, when you've got everything in the world that you want, the opportunity for you to take it a step further.
That's what I always thought about Jeffrey Epstein, in the sense of this guy could have anything he wanted, and he's already predisposed to being a sick individual. So he's like, what's something that money can't buy?
I've gotten all the thrills I can get.
Yeah,
Squid Game a little bit comes to mind when you say that.
This is
that old guy got bored.
Another person who was calling out P. Diddy, and I don't really know the backstory on their beef, but I remember 50 Cent used to come out all the time and say stuff about P. Diddy. Like he thought the dude was gay and was not afraid to say on radio interviews and podcasts, hey, something's up with that dude. I don't like, because P. Diddy, I think he said something along the lines of P. Diddy kept coming up to him wanting to take him clothes shopping. And he's like, bro, what do you mean? Yeah. That's okay. He says, this is years ago. He said, what did it say? 25 years ago he said that? You can put that on full screen.
Oh, man.
Listen to this. This is crazy.
The nigga Puff was like, yeah, like first he was amping him to get stout. Then he was like, yo, so yo, when we gonna get the chance to, you know, to kick it, like we could just hang out, nigga. We gotta
hold
kick
that.
It.
This is
Puff.
Okay.
He telling me we gotta kick it and shit. And he was like, yo, why don't we like go shopping or some shit? I mean, like I pay for it. And I was like, what the fuck this nigga just said? I got the fuck away from him because I was like, this nigga like fucking wait. This nigga just tell me he take me shopping. Fruit pie. Trust me. You see these little weird ass pictures and shit like that out there? I'm just sitting out there for no reason. You don't see accident pictures with me like kissing it. Like that doesn't happen by accident. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm telling you.
Yes,
I'm telling you. Look, later you're going to find out a little shit that I'll be saying. You understand what I'm saying? Man, listen, I'm trying to tell you the truth. But the truth, sometimes it hurts.
Right.
It hurts people and they don't want to hear that shit. But I'm trying to tell you, nigga asked me, could he take me shopping? And it fucked me up because I'm looking like, what the fuck did this nigga just say? Like, I'm going to take you shopping. I'm this motherfucker. Why? Because when you walk around looking so motherfucking good, I'm going to feel like, God damn it, that motherfucker with me. That's all I want to do. But when a nigga tell me he want to take me shopping, what the fuck is the matter with this nigga?
Wait, hold on. Well, where was this at?
This was at the wedding.
Oh, all at that
wedding.
Right after the wedding.
I'm beefing with Steve Stout. And Puff is telling you he's going to take you shopping.
After the shoes.
So he's point. I guess I don't know what wedding he's talking about. And I used to love 50 Cent. I used to listen to his music all the time.
Yeah. But you got to make sure 50 Cent.
I don't think it's 50.
No, it's not 50 cents.
I think it's 50 Cent.
I think it's 50.
You think when he turns 60, he'll call it
50 Cent?
Shut up, Tommy.
50 Cent. But yeah, there are several of those out there. And 50 Cent was always like, that was one of the things that he consistently said. He's like, dude, you don't go to another man and say, you know, can I take you shopping? The example he used was, you take your girl shopping. So when you go out, your girl's looking real good, and you're looking at everybody else like, yeah, that one's with me, blah, 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 blah. That makes sense.
a guy buys a guy a beer or a meal or something.
Right.
That's okay. But is there a way that you can say, you and I, that I can say, let's go shopping without saying, let's go shopping? Is there a cool, hip way?
No, I don't. Well, the problem here is let's go shopping for clothes.
Yeah.
Is what they're talking about. Now, if you said, let's go shopping for guns at Redland Rifle.
Yes.
You know, or let's go.
All right, but what about hunting clothes?
Hunting clothes is fine. You get away with that, right? Let's go to Bass Pro Shop and shop.
Yeah.
To Bucky's, get us a Bucky's t-shirt.
Well,
I'll get it for you.
I mean, maybe we make our intentions to get food, and then we just happen to get a t-shirt.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I got yeah, the jerky.
Yeah. John Bird's like, go to Bucky's, get a beaver onesie together, and we're twinsies. I've got one of those, by the way, so I'm not judging.
Oh, my God.
I should wear that on the podcast one day.
Dare you, double dare you.
You don't want me, well, Thursday you're not going to be here, but
when but we I'm going to be, I'm going to be Zoomed?
Yeah, but I think I'm bringing my wife with me next, like okay, the next podcast.
Even, okay, that's fine.
And I don't want to embarrass her. So when we do the show Monday, I'll wear my,
okay.
That's what we do. Okay. Let's all, I don't want to make Tony Gump dress up, but you wear an outfit, I'll wear my beaver outfit.
Okay, but now I'm not going to be back in time for the podcast on Monday.
Well, we're going to do it. We'll do it Tuesday then.
We'll do it Tuesday.
So same thing as this week. We'll just finagle it as we got to.
Yes.
Who's some other people that warned about Puff Daddy, P. Diddy?
I already got, didn't Kanye?
Kanye's another one. And this is post what they consider crazy Kanye. He starts calling a lot of people out. He says, oh, you know what he does say? Kanye says, makes mention of P. Diddy being a Fed. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute.
Wait, Fed or CIA or what?
A Fed. He calls him a Fed. Now, he doesn't elaborate on this, but remember, Jeffrey Epstein was working with the CIA. In a lot of cases, you'll just, when it comes to calling somebody a Fed, they kind of mean it. You
snitch
know, CIA, you
yeah.
know, it could Informant. Be all kind of involved. But he straight up, yeah, this is the video.
Is
he
it,
calls
yeah.
him a Fed, and I'm like, that's very telling. Listen.
Kidnap my daughter in public, and I didn't have the address of my child. None of these niggas that want to say something
Travis
now.
Travis gave you the address, though.
Travis gave me the address.
Right.
But as far as Meek Mills, no. Puff Daddy, whoever, none of these niggas. All you fake hard niggas, fuck you.
Wait, hold on.
Okay. All you fake hard niggas, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck because you can't shoot nobody anyway. And the reason why you got to talk is because you did a deal, you fucking fed. You know what I'm saying? That's why you gotta come at me, because part of the deal for you to be able to do all that rah, 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 and get out of jail is that you promise that you're gonna go pull my co-car. So y'all niggas shut the fuck up about me. Now let me say it calm. You niggas shut the fuck up about you shut the fuck up about Michael.
Right.
Kidnap.
That's fascinating, because he's saying that P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, can commit all these crimes and not get thrown in jail because he's a Fed. But what do they do? Say they're using him as an informant, okay? What happens, especially as of late, what we've seen, what has happened to informants? Something goes haywire, and they end up charging the people. They've done it with, I mean, some examples that we've seen as of late. Some of the people with J6.
Yep.
Think about that. Some of them were approached by the FBI to go to the Capitol that day and then were arrested. Ray Epps ultimately got arrested, even though he got a slap on the wrist. There's something with, like, if you get recruited by the FBI or the CIA, they'll work with you, they'll pay you good money, and then they'll turn around and arrest you. There's a couple more stories just that have come out over the past couple weeks.
It sounds like the mafia. I mean, what is the real difference these days?
The biggest mafia on the planet is our intelligence
agencies. For some reason, Lee Harvey Oswald came to mind.
Yeah.
I don't know what that...
There's another guy. I mean, that's the thing. Because here's the way it works, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
The feds, the CIA, whatever, they will approach you and they'll say, Carl, that's who you are, right?
Carl.
They'll say, Carl, we need you to work with us to take down some bad guys. And Carl says, Listen, I just hit my head on the stairs. I don't even know what day it is.
I just hit my head on the stairs. I don't know what day it is.
And they'll say, well, Carl, you've got two options. You can either work for us or we will ruin your life. And then you say,
who do I need to snitch on?
Exactly. And so they bring them in. And then they hang it over their head. And they're like, hey, we know this about you, blah, 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 blah. And we'll end up ruining you. So you work for them. But then you become, you go from being an asset to being a threat to them. Because now you've got all this information about what they're doing. And you become a threat in the sense of you could blow out of the water, you know, whatever. You got more information than the average person. Mm-hmm. And they can't afford for that to be out in the open. So they'll turn around and hem you up on whatever they said they were going to hem you up on in the first place. Damn. It's crazy. Ugh.
And about 99% of the people they approach probably take the money or the whatever the deal.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if you don't have a choice.
Well, in today's day and age, with the economy the way it is, with people struggling the way they are, it's much easier for these people to just snatch somebody off the streets and say, you're working for us. We're going to take care of you. Same thing with, I'm going to try to be careful with my verbiage here.
Yeah.
But the year 2020, we had a thing, what Tony calls the people-picking process.
Yeah, people-picking process, yeah.
And there were a lot of regular people that were involved in the picking of that person from that year. Y'all know what I'm saying? We're talking about Joe Biden. There was a lot of average people.
Iden Bay.
There's a lot of people that helped him get picked by simply taking up somebody's offer of, here's some money if you'll take this to the mailbox. If you'll take this to... Again, you know, they don't feel like they're doing anything right. They're not told they're doing anything wrong. They're just like, here's some money for each one of these that you go deliver. Yeah. I'll give you this amount of money. And they're like, okay, that's easy money. Christmas is coming up.
It doesn't matter what side, Democrat or Republican, when they got you,
yeah,
got you.
And most people that they grab are just neutral. They don't pay attention to politics or anything like that.
Dude, if you're hard up for money, it's easy money to do it.
Right. And this is September, October, and early November. Christmas is coming up. You're already struggling. We're on the backside of COVID. Imagine what it's going to be like with the way the economy is now once September, October gets here and people are really struggling. They're going to say, got your money, cuz.
Mm-hmm. I thought about that.
Anyway, back to P. Diddy. I'm getting deep off in the weeds. What prompted this was a lawsuit. And I saw this TikTok right here. This guy was detailing, he does a good job about not using the wrong verbiage for YouTube or TikTok or whatever. And he kind of breaks down some of the more scandalous things that are alleged in this lawsuit. I'm going to let him break it down. And he's not going to break it down because he won't load. Just refresh it and see if it'll work. Bunch of jerks.
Somebody took him out.
There we go. Let's get him going.
All right.
3 pages long. I've read most of it, and Puff Daddy is screwed. This is actually the lawsuit that got filed against him. It's 73 pages long.
Just put him on full
screen.
I've read
most of it, and it is bad. Like, I'm talking Epstein level bad. Allegedly gay Jeffrey Epstein level bad.
It's gay
Epstein.
There's
screenshots, there's videos, and there's a lot of evidence of everything he has listed down here. It is, like, it's bad. And it calls other rappers and other R&B singers as well. Having underage, you know, and with workers. Like, it's bad. And it's not
just
him.
Bad.
It's actually his son that's listed in the lawsuit as well. The person that's filing it goes by the name of Rodney Jones, and he's an American artist and a producer. Like, it talks about a shooting in very specific detail where this person was told to lie to the police. And basically, it goes through that there's a heated conversation with someone, and Sean Combs, Puff Daddy, and his son allegedly shot this person twice. This person went in to stop the bleeding. He has pictures. And not only that, it alleges that he attempted to groom him into engaging in, you know, it's got pictures, it's got phone numbers, it's got Instagram profiles of two workers that were solicited on behalf of Puff Daddy. And it goes into a crazy amount of details. And it's not just one event. Like, it's multiple. Like, it's really bad. Like, Bill Cosby, you're not coming back from this bad. Jeffrey Epstein, like, you're probably going to jail bad. It's not just him. It also calls out Cuba Gooding Jr. And one of the most shocking things is it talks about the shooting, and it alleges that he admitted that J-Lo actually brought the gun into the club.
Wow.
And it passed him the gun after he got an altercation with the other individual. And it also talks about that he's responsible for the shooting and he's the one that actually ratted out Shine, who ended up going to jail for it, while he remains scot-free. I'm only skimming the surface of just a few of the key things that I found in there, but it's terrible. Like, it's really bad. He's not coming back from this bad. And the crazy part is this person only knew him for a very short period of time. And there's a lot more lawsuits that are out against Puff Daddy. It's bad.
So what did we learn from that?
It's bad.
It's very bad.
Dude, that's serious.
Yeah, that's wild. There's going to be a lot of names dropped in there. Another one we talked about on the show today was who? Prince Harry?
Yes.
You know what's funny is just the other day, I think Trump was doing an interview with Nigel Farage, and they were just talking about a plethora of topics. And because Farage is British, he was talking about the royal family. And they were talking about Prince Harry coming to the U.S., and possibly being on drugs, which means he would have to lie on his visa or maybe bought a firearm or something. Anyway, they asked Donald Trump, what would you do if you found out he lied and broke the law? He said, well, I'll just deport him. He's like, I respect the royal family. I love the royal family. The queen was absolutely perfect. But it was just ironic that he was talking about deporting Harry, and now Harry's named in. It's like Donald Trump's like a Miss Cleo. He just knows. He's like Cat Williams. He's been in the know for so long, he knows all about these people and their dirt.
And it's like he knows when to let a little bit out.
Yes.
His wealth of knowledge. There is no telling what he knows, but I think he's so calculated and in everything that he does. You know, he might let a little bit out here, a little bit out there, but it's too much, and it throws everybody into chaos.
Well, it's almost like, would I dare say it's almost a form of honeypotting itself, in a sense, to you put a little bit out there, and you're like, this is your warning that you better watch your P's and Q's. If you come after me, I'm gonna cut it loose.
Yeah,
because I know.
I think it's a little late for P. Diddy to, like, you know, strip naked and run down the football field as his initiation or whatever. You know?
Yeah. He's not gonna be doing this is his humiliation ritual. Is all this being exposed? This guy right here, his name's Ian Carroll. He does a really good job, probably better than the bad dude, of explaining what this is. We may not watch this whole thing, but this is very helpful on explaining this scenario.
We just got the Jeffrey Epstein of the music and entertainment industry. The new lawsuit that just dropped against Diddy is massive, and it has photos, it has videos, it names names, and there's so much here that it's never gonna fit into a single video. So I'm gonna do a quick overview in this video, and then I'm gonna do a couple of parts breaking down all the different aspects of what's come out so far. We're talking crime scenes. We're talking photo evidence of celebrities like Cuba Gooding Jr. We're talking record label executives. We're talking hidden cameras in every room of the house, getting recordings of celebrities, executives, politicians, at parties with celebrities and underage girls, with drinks being spiked, with drugs. This goes all the way back to the murder of Tupac and Biggie.
Dang.
We're talking about the entire rap and hip-hop industry and the whole music industry at large. But to be clear, this is just opinions and speculation. These are not statements of fact. When I show sources in the background, like the court case, you should take those for just what they are. I'm not saying that all of this is necessarily real. So what's happening just now is that this man, Rodney Jones, who is a music producer that worked with Sean Combs, who is Diddy, he just filed this lawsuit. And he didn't just file it against Diddy. He filed against the executives at all of the companies associated and against the companies like Universal Music Group.
Yes.
His lawyers claim that he has secured hundreds of hours of footage and audio recordings of Diddy and his staff and his guests engaging in serious illegal activity. It's illegal for lawyers to make these claims if they don't have reasonable belief that this evidence is legitimate and exists. They could get disbarred for making these claims if they're not true. And some of that evidence is present in this lawsuit, like when Diddy allegedly shot a man. And then the LAPD saw that room in the photo, the bathroom with all that blood, and were on the scene for hours and no arrests were made. They went with the explanation that Diddy told his staff to give, which was it was a drive-by shooting. Diddy made it clear that his head of security, Fahim Muhammad, had the power to make people and problems disappear.
Oh my gosh.
And all of Diddy's staff were instructed to contact Mr. Muhammad if they were ever pulled over by the police in Miami or California. Diddy often bragged about having law enforcement under control. Although the deeper you look, the more it looks like people above him and above law enforcement had him under control. We'll go more into these cases in the detailed videos, but now the bigger picture. See, Diddy has been one of the most powerful people in the rap industry ever since the 90s when he founded Bad Boy Records. And he was only 24 when he founded it. He started his career as a non-paid intern at A&R until he was then fired in 1993 when he was 24 and founded his own label, Bad Boy Records, later that year. So how does a 24-year-old found a massive record label on his own? Well, when you dig further, you realize it wasn't on his own. It was with the help of Clive Davis.
Clive Davis.
And the further into it all you dig, you realize that Clive Davis came out as gay later on, and there's a lot of rumors that him and Diddy were in a relationship throughout this time.
Man.
This is going to come up over and over and over just by chance. Clive Davis has been running significant portions of the music industry since our parents were kids listening to music. Responsible for artists like Aretha Franklin, Alicia Keys, The Grateful Dead, then later Usher, Outkast, Pink. But back in the 60s and 70s, like Janis Joplin, Santana, Aerosmith, Pink Floyd, like, come on, read it. Jones specifically claims that they were trying to groom him to do gay stuff, which has long been the talk of the town in the rap industry by people that aren't with it. Diddy allegedly showed him a tape from a secret recording that he just happened to have of Jones's idol having gay sex with some white guy. And then Diddy apparently told Jones that he had engaged in gay sex with this redacted rapper and that redacted rapper and his idol, Stevie J. And apparently he also promised to make sure that Jones would win Producer of the Year at the Grammys if he did gay stuff on camera. Although, to be clear, he wasn't explicitly saying on camera, but Mr. Jones discovered that Diddy had hidden cameras in every room of his home. I'm going to guess that Diddy didn't learn how to wire a whole house with cameras on his own. Kanye has accused Diddy of being a fed many times. Diddy's also been accused of ordering the hit on Tupac many times. And when Diddy was asked about this on a podcast, this was his response.
So we don't talk about things that are nonsense. We don't even entertain nonsense, my brother. So we're not even going to even go there, with all due respect, but I appreciate you as a journalist asking.
When you start digging into allegations of the CIA, the FBI, the Mossad having tentacles in the music industry, you wind up at total rumors like this. Former CIA agent admits agency created gangster rap to fill private prisons by glamorizing criminality. Claims like famous hip-hop lyrics of the legendary hip-hop outfit NWA were even scripted by a team of psychologists and war propagandists inside the CIA, according to this former agent.
Jeez.
Yeah, we knew that.
Totally rumors and conspiracy theories, no truth to this whatsoever. But it leads you to people like Lior Cohen, who might be the most influential person in the last 100 years of music, because he ran Def Jam and made Jay-Z who he is, including Redman, Method Man, DMX, Ja Rule, Ludacris. But it doesn't stop with rap music. We got Bon Jovi, Mariah Carey, Shania Twain, Elvis Costello, Ashanti, Nickelback, Slipknot, Sum 41, The Killers, Slayer. But then we've also got his protege, Julie Greenwald, that got elevated through this merger that he brokered and managed the Black Keys, Bruno Mars, Death Cab for Cutie, Jason Mraz, Kid Rock, Lupe Fiasco, Wiz Khalifa. That would be this Julie Greenwald. And then we've got Lucian Grange, the CEO of Universal Music Group. He's the one that is directly implicated and named in this lawsuit. It is alleged that he attended these parties with underage girls and with sex workers, and he knew that they were spiking drinks, et cetera, et cetera. But when you're talking about Diddy, you got to also talk about Justin Bieber, who was managed by Scooter Braun, along with Kanye West, Ariana Grande, Demi Lovato, et cetera.
Good old Scooter.
Scooter Braun is a really big player in the modern music industry. We also got Psy, Carly Rae Morris, Martin Garrix, Kanye West, Black Eyed Peas, David Guetta, Lil Dicky. So you might not remember, but back in the 90s, Tupac and Biggie were both coming up, and they were both talking about leaving their records that we've shown the people involved in those records already and starting their own. And Tupac was starting to speak out a little bit maybe about the nature of the industry. Diddy was close in the middle of that, and there's a lot of rumors that he ordered the hit on Tupac. Diddy sort of rose to power on the power vacuum of Tupac and Biggie both leaving the scene. And he has been manipulating and running a huge portion of the industry from the inside ever since. And this court case directly alleges with lots of evidence that he has been running a sexual blackmail scheme that entire time, promoting artists that would engage in the sexual blackmail scheme and then do their bidding there, because there's not just him acting alone, and pushing out, ostracizing, blacklisting, attacking artists that wouldn't. So maybe you should go back and listen to some of Kanye's interviews and see if he sounds quite so crazy after all.
Man.
Whoa. Head blown.
So much to unpack right there. Okay. First of all, CIA creating gangster rap. All right. We're all on the same page with that. I mean, it sounds like way out there, but once we start to see how they put this stuff together and what the result of it was, I mean, it was glamorizing crime. It was, yeah. And then the gay stuff, it's like, you know, what I see is P. Diddy is a 24-year-old who gets fired from being an intern. How do you get fired to be an intern?
Yeah, really?
And then Clive Davis scoops him up and turns him into essentially, he probably gets the guy and grooms him into being the, hey, you're going to be the future of honeypotting in this industry. But what's crazy is it's not just Clive Davis looking to control people. It's likely the federal government working in tandem with Clive Davis to control the music industry. And it's exactly why the music industry just so happens, and the entertainment industry so happens, to promote the things that are best for the deep state.
Yep.
And it's exactly what it is.
The whole rap thing, it kept the prisons full and it kept some fighting amongst each other. It was good for them.
This should explain exactly why, you know, because people ask this question. People ask me this question. They're like, why is it every celebrity seems to be a leftist? Everybody in the music and in Hollywood industry, why are they all leftists? And it's because this, and we get called crazy for talking about the deep state like it's some sort of made up thing. This is one tentacle of the deep state, probably the largest tentacle of the deep state. And it is, it created and controls the entertainment industry because they know the entertainment industry is the most consumed thing, product in the entire world,
oh, yeah.
Especially yeah. in the U.S. So if you can control the entertainment industry and the message that gets relayed to the consumers, you control a large portion of the population. It was the biggest get for them, much like attacking the universities. You know, we always knew leftists went after universities so they could indoctrinate young people. This makes indoctrinating or taking over the colleges seem like child's play.
It really does, and they got a lot of practice in other countries before our own too.
Yeah, this is not new. This is not some sort of new, but it's something that's been going on for a very, very long time. The same people that took out JFK are the same people that are putting this together.
I'm telling you, I mean, Clive Davis, you know, the names he mentioned, that's just a fraction.
Yeah.
I mean, especially, you know, in the 60s, he was the 60s. He was the 70s. I mean, you just, any genre of music he had control of.
As a musician mm-hmm. and formerly aspiring musician mm-hmm. looking for a record label, would you have asked a D for a record deal?
Nope.
What if it was Clive Davis's?
No.
You wouldn't do like a little gay stuff?
No. And nor would anyone in my band. It's a matter of...
You couldn't get the bass player to, like, touch Clive Davis's BP?
Nope.
Interesting.
You know, I mean...
Diddy would have hated you, by the way.
Yeah, well, it's a matter of... I mean, and we even knew it back then. You know, we called it selling your soul to the devil.
Yeah.
And...
Who knew selling your soul actually meant...
Yeah, really.
So
I thought I was just going to have to sign a piece of paper. Like, I didn't know I was going to have to get
in the
back door.
Well, they
got to
have something on you to, you know, keep it going.
Yeah. Or something. I mean, I'm just thankful. I am so thankful that I did not get signed to a record label and tied up into this.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, look now. I mean, and I've not, you know, you don't know to the level, but you know something's going on.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, you just want to do your thing. You know, it's like, okay, you do that over there. Just let me do my thing. But that's not the way it works.
Yeah, it would have been nice to get a record label. I mean, you wouldn't be here if you did, but, you know, it was that trip through Pound Town to get there that you just wouldn't have had a lot of fun, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, I just got to say, they mentioned Kid Rock in there, and it immediately brought me to when he talked about the Bohemian Grove and how he went there. And
yeah.
that seems to correlate with the timing.
Yeah, because they probably get them to go to Bohemian Grove and all that, because it's,
yep.
it's the music industry, the power players in the music industry, and they always bring up the Jew thing, and you know, I'm not going to get into that, because I don't want to get banned.
Well, remember when Kid Rock said he felt uncomfortable and uneasy because he felt like, I don't want to say the R word, when he had to play his guitar for that group?
Right.
So that was, you know, his initiation thing, as he put it?
Yeah, he's like, they didn't tell me I had to, but it was kind of an unspoken thing. They're like, you need to play for these yeah. people. Mm. And it's like, it's all part of the control. But here's the part that's going to blow y'all's mind. Are you ready for this?
Bring it.
There is a tie within all of this with Michael Jackson, okay? And the same dude explains it. Actually, don't even let me do it. Let's just go. We probably won't watch this whole thing. I know I said that last time we watched the whole thing, but let's just go this route because this dude does a really good job at explaining all this. Again.
Yeah.
John Bird.
Something's happened.
Twitter strikes again.
That cool blackmail ring puts Michael Jackson conspiracy theories are back on the table. P. Diddy's sexual blackmail ring puts Michael Jackson's whole life story in a whole new light. So this new lawsuit just came out that shows tons of evidence that P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, has been running a sexual blackmail operation very much like Jeffrey Epstein, but in the rap and music industry, for basically 30 years. And in that lawsuit, we learned that his head of security while he's running the sexual blackmail ring is this guy named Fahim Muhammad, who, before working for Diddy, was the head of security for Michael Jackson.
Okay, pause it right there. Now, you remember, he brought this guy's name up in the last video.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about he was the guy that could get law enforcement to pull people over and mess with people. This guy, this Fahid Muhammad guy, was apparently Michael Jackson's head of security, too, at least when he died. But he had just been hired. Like, the guy was young. It was like a P. Diddy deal in the sense he was like 24. It was like fresh out of college. Anyway, I just want to make sure y'all remember that he was from the last video as well.
Jackson died. And before we go to Michael Jackson, the most important part of the Diddy case to bring across is the fact that the record executives at the very top knew what P. Diddy was doing. They were attending the parties with underage girls where they were spiking drinks. They were deeply involved in Diddy's personal life, and all evidence points to them supporting his operation, or at the very least, turning a blind eye to it. So let's revisit Michael Jackson, the king of pop, knowing what we know today. Starting in 1993, Michael Jackson was repeatedly accused of inappropriate things with children. And most of us eventually took that story and were like, okay, that's messed up. Michael Jackson's a bad dude. Without necessarily taking into account the way that the press had been smearing him in really messed up ways for years. And then a bunch of documentaries were made before and after his death, smearing him left, right, and center. But the Diddy lawsuit directly points out and reminds us that the people that own the record companies also own the media publishing businesses that can print the tabloids. They have close relationships with the people that own the newspapers and the magazines that print these stories, that make these movies. That's how they offer record contracts to people and then get them to the top of the charts right away. That is, if they play ball. If you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But when you actually look into the evidence, the FBI were investigating Jackson for 10 full years. And they presented no evidence of criminal conduct on Jackson's part. The files have been declassified and you can view them yourself. They include a raid of his home where they confiscated all electronics. This is their ID number that you'll see. We're talking computers, hard drives, cell phones, where they say the amount of gigabytes. And then following are pages like this where they have the ID of the different devices and they all say nothing. Literally, they all say this. They found nothing. But that didn't stop the press from running made-up stories about how secret FBI files revealed that Jackson had paid millions in hush money to dozens of boys he had abused, despite the FBI files directly negating that statement. And to be clear, Jackson was a weird dude. He grew up in one of the most effed up environments imaginable. He had basically no father figure and was kept from his mother. And the press has repeatedly tried to make him seem even weirder to us. But sometimes they publish articles trying to make him seem like Wacko Jacko, which is super racist. We'll get into that another time. But they actually wind up just showing his humanity, like how he's shocked by the real world because he doesn't understand it. In this article, they explain how when he first saw a homeless person, he was like, "What's that?" And his driver had to explain to him what a homeless person was. And he was like, "Holy shit." And he made them stop the car and he watched for a while, then gave the woman $300. And then when they saw that a man that she was with was about to try to take it from her, Jackson went and gave him $300. And she was crying and said that he'd saved her. And then he spent the rest of that day driving around, giving out $100 bills to homeless people, saying how it's just amazing that the world could be so messed up. He sang about this kind of stuff all the time. In that same article, they also confirmed that he likes women, not underage ones, and he had a secret girlfriend that he was seeing on the side but keeping it away from his kids and would always be back before they woke up. So they branded him as Wacko Jacko early on and just like totally annihilated his public image. But what you might not have known is that that is a direct reference to a monkey, a fighting monkey from an old like, who was like a cartoon character basically. His name was Jacko Macaco. And for the longest time, you could actually buy Jacko monkey dolls. And we could talk about how all the boys that accused him of things actually were in the middle of launching really successful entertainment industry careers when they made those allegations about what had allegedly happened to them when they were tiny children, despite having previously gone on their stand and under oath saying that nothing had ever happened. But that would just be a waste of time. One of the far more interesting and relevant claims is that Michael Jackson said a lot of things about Jewish people, particularly later in his career. And then he was smeared to all hell and back as an anti-Semitic Nazi. Except that when you search YouTube for the actual original phone call recording where he called Jews leeches, YouTube won't let you see it. You can't find it. Instead, they feed you a bunch of videos that are of this other phone call that seems to be his doctor that allegedly killed him, calling him when he was in the midst of heavy sedation and getting him to talk on the phone in slurred speech about how shitty his life was while he was completely fucked up on drugs. That his doctor that was talking to him probably knew he was high on. Like, I don't know, just feels like a smear job to me. But when you search it on Twitter, you can find those videos no problem. Just saying. And that's not because X supports anti-Semitic content. That's because X allows you to get to primary sources. Because if you want to know how history happened, you need to be able to access the primary sources. And yes, Jackson did say that the Jews are, probably referring to the Jews in the music industry, are like leeches and that they took everything from them and that they did it on purpose. But when you look into those allegations or those insults, you realize that because of his will that was probably fake and filed right before his death. So the will was signed on July 7th in Los Angeles by three witnesses. But Jackson's family pointed out that he was in New York that day and there's video proving it. So they changed their story, but the witnesses definitely saw it and it was just in New York. So anyways, because of this will, John Branca was put in charge of his estate, which included his net worth of $230 million, but far more importantly, his 50% share of Sony ATV worth $750 million. Yes, he was taking on Sony. He was going after the hand that feeds him. And when you look into John Branca, in 2003, Jackson fired Branca because he was siphoning money out of Jackson's accounts in collusion with Sony Music CEO Tommy Mottola and funneling it through a bunch of offshore accounts in the Caribbean. John Branca is Jewish, and Tommy Mottola is also Jewish. Plus, Tommy Mottola married Mariah Carey partway through his life when she was a young woman, and he was an old man. And there are other allegations about that whole situation you can look up on your own. In the first video I made about the Diddy case, where I broke down the whole thing, I went through a whole bunch of music executives that are involved in that case or that come about when you start looking into it. And every single person that I showed in that video that was not black was Jewish. Because whether you like it or not, whether you want to call people names about it or not, the vast majority of the power in the music industry is controlled by Jewish men. Another good example who we have not talked about yet is Lou Pearlman, who is famous for the boy bands NSYNC and Backstreet Boys. Not trying to say that all Jewish people are bad. People are just people. They make their own choices. But in the music industry, there are a fuckload of Jewish men that are doing
Jewish people are bad.
And in a few other industries, too, when you think about it. We'll make another video about that. For most of Jackson's career, his head of security was Bill Bray, who was his mentor and basically his father. And the two were extremely close. Bill ran his security until he was 70 when he retired, and Jackson continued to pay his medical bills until he died at age 80. This is a letter that Michael Jackson wrote to Bill that is both really touching and really enlightens you as to the state of Michael Jackson's education and his perspective on the world and his life story. Pause if you want to read that. But then once Bill retired, Jackson was then protected by other security people that came and went. And he wound up with this guy who has direct connections to Diddy's sexual blackmail operations, who was directly complicit in covering up crimes for Diddy and covering up murders, covering up drug use, prostitution, human trafficking. This is the guy that was protecting Michael Jackson the day that he died. The day that he was overdosed on drugs after he was probably already asleep, and the only witnesses, there were no witnesses to the crime. I'm honestly kind of surprised that this guy never got checked into as a suspect. I'm not trying to make any allegations, I'm just saying. Anyone can inject a dude with lots of propofol. So, knowing what you know now about the entertainment industry, about the world, about how this all works, about Israel, I suggest you re-examine the story of Michael Jackson and you re-listen to some of his lyrics. I bet if I include the song, they'll take the video down for copyright as a way to silence this video, but you should probably re-listen to the lyrics for They Don't Really Care About Us. And if you find the censored version, you should probably find out what the words that they censored are. And you know, looking into this whole story of Michael Jackson, the one thing that I couldn't stop thinking about is, man, that sounds a lot like Kanye West. But that's probably just a coincidence, right?
Bro, that's deep. That's deep. Wow. You know what's crazy is Trish, I think Trish and I talked about it. I think Tony and I have talked about it. And I had never really put a lot of thought into it because I never got that deep into this stuff. I vaguely knew about it, but I never looked into it. And Trish says, I bet Michael Jackson was framed. She's like, I've thought that for a long time. And I'm like, really? She's like, yeah, just think about the surrounding circumstances. And I was like, yeah, you know, I can believe it. And after seeing this stuff and now the P. Diddy stuff out, I'm like, oh, that's what they did. But think about this. They had made Michael Jackson so big that they couldn't do anything except for kill him because his music still lives today. They tarnished him with accusations of child molestation, yet people still view him as the greatest of all time.
Yeah. I mean, he bought the Beatles catalog.
Yeah.
He outbid Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, talk about power. I think that he was so damaged emotionally and mentally that it was easy. It was easy to do.
We're going to have to do more of this because this stuff's deep. And I know this is a little bit different of a show, but I think it's important. So before we get out of here, Tony Gump, you got any final words, my friend? Your thoughts on all of this?
My thoughts are don't ever take it for what they say. If the media ever goes after one specific person this hardcore, like Michael Jackson or Donald Trump or whoever, odds are they're trying to do something good for us, in my opinion.
Bingo. You look at how hard they go after Donald Trump, and you look at this situation, and you think to yourself, okay, it's almost identical. They're trying to, the only thing they haven't been able to do to Donald Trump is to kill the guy, and you know they want to do it. Anyway, final words, John Bird.
Don't lose hope. That's it.
Wow.
I'm serious. Don't lose hope.
That was the most prolific yet short final words you've ever given us.
Yeah, well, that's all popped into my head because it's easy. I mean, it's easy for me to lose hope here.
John Bird loses a lot of stuff, including his mind, which he lost at the beginning of the show.
I mean, it's bad. I've got a little headache now, but I'm okay.
But never lose hope.
Never, ever. That's the only way we're going to get through this.
That's it, baby. We'll be back Thursday with a brand new episode.
Wait a minute. Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
All right. See you, cuz.